Blog Talk Radio.
So I say expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. Covenant Cafe, come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I believe whatever he say. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Hello, and once again, welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Charlie Baltimore. Hello, hello.
And Lace is not with us today. He's grinding on another theatrical production. So we hope we'll hear from him soon, but it won't be today. I know you guys are sad. I know, I understand. But, you know, we miss you, Lace. You know, grind hard, grind hard.
Yes, we do.
And before we get into what we always get into, let's go ahead and have our word for the day. And that word for today is Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. You guys, this, like, I don't want to say, like, this, you know, all the other Bible verses don't mean anything. But if you really listen to this, check it out. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved. By grace.
Mm-hmm.
Through faith, and this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. You did not save yourself. When you put on that brake, when you about to get into an accident, okay, I'm just using this analogy. If you about to get in an accident and you put on the brakes, you're like, oh, man, whew, I'm glad I put on them brakes. No, God was watching over you. You know, so with this comes a lot of responsibility and a lot for people to understand that it's not you. It is not what you are doing. These are gifts from God through faith, because you have faith, you believe in him, he is giving you a gift. You understand? It's okay. I'm going to bring it down to our terms. Pretty much, a lot of times we think we're giving God, doing God a favor by doing good works. No, you're not doing God a favor. You know, God is continuously blessing you. And a lot of people do good works just to do good works, to say, hey, I did my part. You know, God should bless me. I'm doing my part. God should bless me. It's not when you expect the blessings to happen. When you expect the blessing to happen, that means you trying to go on your time and not God's time. Your time may be, you might think you need this promotion at your job, and you're like, yeah, I'm ready for this promotion. But are you really ready? You know what I'm saying? So, and say, for instance, that you are passed over, that promotion passed you by, and you get all upset at your workplace. I've been here 4 or 5 years, and they continues to pick over me. But then that time comes when you're ready. Then they come to you. So it's all in God's timing. We all think we're ready for that particular situation that we're in. You know, you want to be in a better house, better car. Well, let me go back to the better house. You get a better house, then that's more finances that you feel, I mean, that is necessary to keep that big house that you want. You know, I want a new house right now. I'm in a townhouse that I own. And we only, our mortgage went down from the time we've been here 11 years. From the time we got it, we had it at $800 plus. 11 years later, it is going down. Well, next month, it's going to, it's been going down in increments. We've gotten all the way down to next month will be 540-something.
Nice.
Yeah. So, am I ready for a big house right now? 4 or 5 bedrooms? No. My pockets can't handle it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that I'm ready. I'm like, yeah, I want a new house. No, you're not ready for a new house. You got to get your finances in order. I got to be a stronger person when it comes to finances. Because, you know, I don't want to get the house and lose the house when I've maintained the house for X amount of time to get another one and then to lose that next one, you know? People go through those situations, you know. They think they can handle something. And same thing with marriage. Same thing with marriage.
Yeah.
People, like, you know, you go on with someone for a period of time, you're like, oh, yeah, I think we're ready. And for some reason it don't work out, you know. But
God's time. Mm-hmm.
In God's time. You know, you have situations where people have been friends or dating for a long time, and they for years, and they say, let's get married, and the marriage goes bad. But then you have someone who met within a couple of months, and they get married, and then their marriage lasts. You know, it seems weird, yes, because you feel that, I've known you for years, but that component, although y'all lived together for years, because you're going together, it's still a security blanket saying, I can leave anytime where I want to without any legal ramifications, biblical ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get married, it's a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
When you get the argument, you're not going to be like, well, I'm not going with you no more. No.
You have to be praying for grace.
Yeah.
And faith in that.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we're coming at. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get on a huge soapbox, but that's where we're going with that verse. What is your feedback on that?
No, absolutely. You know, when I look in and I see that, you know, when they talk about grace and that how we're saved through faith, also says some places that faith, you know, the works without the faith are dead. So, like you say, if you're jumping into a situation and you're doing what you're doing and for your works, and you're not doing it for the right purpose, like, you know, okay, I'm just banking little brownie points here. It's one thing to get into a habit and be in a positive habit of doing good works, but when you apply the principle behind it, you know, like God loves a cheerful giver. Well, God really loves an unselfish doer who
mm-hmm.
just does regardless if it's going to be fruititious back on them, if it's going to elevate their status, no matter what it is. And the best part is doing those things in silent when nobody knows, because your Heavenly Father sees it and doesn't need to be boastful about it and say, man, I did this, that, the other for this person. And I personally have had, you know, problems with that and struggled with that in the past because I like positive attention, you know, and it's like from a little kid standpoint had always been that way. And to learn that, you know what, nobody else needs to know. The right hand doesn't need to know what the left hand's doing and vice versa. You just move through space, allow God to touch your heart, because sometimes that'll happen. I will just be at work or something, for instance, and just get a funny feeling, turn around and say, hey, you have this sandwich? Boom. That person may turn around and say, man, you didn't even know how hungry I was. I have no food. I have, and But God talks to his people and tells his people the needs of the other people. It's like we're all mentally connected on this little pegboard, and if we just maintain ourselves and keep that heart open and that little line open, it's almost like, you know, like the radio waves, you're in tune, how we're in tune. If we change that channel a little bit, you can't hear a word. But you stay in tune like that, God will let you know, I need this done here, I need that done there, I need this done here and that done there. Not that he needs him per se, but his people, because he listens. And I think a lot of that gets delegated to us, and when we shut it off, whether it's through alcohol, drinking, doing whatever, just not listening, you know, being in a bad mood, worried about all our own stuff, we can't hear. We can't hear very clear. And if we would just calm down, mellow out, be open to the Spirit, to helping, those opportunities will come to you, and you do get blessed because of it. I've given somebody a bus pass to turn around and have somebody just put something on my desk that was just, you know, really something I really liked or needed, or, and the only person that would know anything like that would have been God, you know, notifying that person to go bless me for whatever reason. So there's a purpose. There's a purpose, you know, like behind that principle. And God definitely lets us know that that principle is well appreciated when we're in tune with him. But that's kind of my feedback on it.
Yeah, but that goes with when you give someone something, that the phrase Indian giver.
That's
what you're doing when you doing good works, and they're like, yo, guess what? I just picked up this guy. I mean, like, it's different when you're talking about it down the road, like some, you know, some, like we're talking about it. You mentioning that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's not on my way here if I say, man, guess what I just did? I just picked up a homeless guy and took him to the nearest motel and paid for a week. That's what I just did. Your intentions
right,
might make
your reward.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You just,
there's your reward. Go ahead.
You know? So, yeah, we just have to be careful about stuff like that. We're just saying, you know, we're just saying.
Yep.
Travel silently
and do your works in silent, but do them well, and you'll be blessed even more.
Absolutely. And just think, when you have concerns, you give them to God, and I'm going somewhere with this. When you have concerns, you give them to God, right? When you go through your struggle. You have to have that same diligence when you are doing these works for faith. I mean, works of faith.
Yes.
Meaning, you don't want to do these things just to say, hey, I did it. Now God's going to view me better. You know?
Right. Or you have to do it. Mm-hmm.
So you do what is necessary. You do what's necessary when things are going wrong. That's what I'm going. When things are going wrong, you do the necessary steps. I need to pray. I need to do this. I need to do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But
yep.
When you're doing works of faith, you're doing the necessary thing, but then when you try to make yourself shine because of that, that's not the necessary thing you need to be doing. You know? So I just kind of want to share that. But,
and I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. There's that point of where, like you said, when things are going really bad, you're paying attention to God. God, why'd you leave me here? Why don't you help me? You're never here. And then you get real good on your P's and Q's. But maintain that, and then giving the faith. One of the key things I like what you said jumped out at me was when you're doing these things in faith, also when you're asking and you're having issues and you give it in faith to God, like you said, let go and let God do it per se. Have the faith and let it go. Whatever you're going through the day, keep on going. Don't let that one thing keep distracting you, because that is the adversary's way to distract you. I mean, I've had issues at work, and I know the good works that I'm doing per se is raising money for such and such organization. They really need this money. And what happens? Satan comes over here, starts poking at you, doing stuff, and you're just like, really? And if I just say, you know what? I am not going to allow that to distract me, and it's in anything. If it's your finances, let it go. There's nothing you can do about it. The more that you worry, it is not going to change your circumstance. Worry is toiling and spinning in Matthew, where it tells you don't toil and spin. He's got the hairs on your head counted. All you need to do is trust him, just like your father, and say, okay, I know you got my back. I'm good. I'm going to do what you want me to do regardless. I'm not going to stop and say, man, I'm not helping that street rat on the corner because I, you know, look at what happened to my fight. If you feel moved to hand that person a dollar or give them a cheeseburger or do whatever, you better do it and not think of it and discount why you're not going to do a good work or whatever it is. Because if you do that, I guarantee you, your blessings will stop. But if you don't, you stay in that flow like Job. No matter what happened, he refused to curse God. He kept going that straight path. You're not going to push me off, and I'm going to do this and this and this. And, yes, those do store blessings up for you. But because you're faithful and you kept the faith even when times were bad. So kind of a side thought. Sorry.
No, you're fine. So what we're going to do is we'll go ahead and take a music break, and we're going to come back with some news, some world news, and then eventually some weird news. And then,
I think they might go hand in hand sometime.
Yeah. And then you got, Deacon, and he'll be coming up with his useless facts. So you guys.
we're going to go do our laundry with our soapboxes while we listen to our songs.
Yeah. But as always, we connect the songs with what we're talking about, and the song that I'm going to play is Tamela Man, Take Me to the King, here on the Covenant Cafe. We'll be back.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What's left to do?
Come on.
Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to
awesome song.
Yep, absolutely.
A couple of things I'm going to touch on, just two little interesting things. Well, not too little. One huge one and one little entertainment piece. The airline that was disappeared, so-called disappeared, they did find pieces in the Indian Ocean. Yeah, so definitely got to keep those families in prayer.
They find that beacon box, black box.
As of right now, I do not think they found that black box. And it's so crazy because when you look at losing a loved one, and you have closure when you know for sure, like if it's a train wreck or car wreck or illness, you know, or even if it's a plane wreck, you know, like, okay, I know this for sure. I see the pieces. I see this. But this particular situation is like they speculate. They're saying that it is the pieces from the plane. Now, then, really, that's just a partial closure because they're saying it is.
Right. It's just like they got snatched away and nobody knows, you know.
Nobody knows.
The kid missing.
Yeah.
And that thing in Washington, too. You heard about the mudslide up in Washington?
Yes.
That's horrendous. Absolutely. A lot of stuff going on. And people, I heard that was a pretty gruesome activity that they, in order, like a plane wreck, you know, at least a little different over the water, but, you know, where it's not only that, it's not a pretty sight, you know, what they're dealing with. But, yeah, our hearts go out to the people. Absolutely. Keep them in prayer, anybody that has a moment, just stop and make sure they pray for those people. That's very sad.
And it's like, because you're not going to get them back to funeralize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, it's because someone snatched. You don't know a rhyme or reason why. You don't know if it was just an accident. You don't know if it was a terrorist attack. You don't know anything. Even if you...
Yeah, and the whole thing... Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, just going to say, it's like, you know, just like we were just talking a minute ago where we were talking faith and staying on that straight path regardless of all the circumstances, left, right. Satan was here. He said he's here to kill, maim, destroy, lie, cheat, deceive. All those things. Yes, it's horrible. Yes, it could be escalated because if it's a terrorist attack or if it's just so crazy. Bottom line is we know our days here on this earth are numbered. We're in these clay vessels for a short period of time on God's clock time, you know, since he's eternity. We're to do our lives and pick and choose and do what we can. When things like this happen, talk about testing your faith. Talk about having to stop and say, you know what? Yeah, I care who did it, but it was my family member. I trust God. That's the one thing that can only get you through that is I trust God. That body may be gone missing, but that spirit, you can that spirit. You cannot steal that spirit. It is back in the presence of God. God knows right where each one of those spirits are, and he's got them accounted for. So, yes, the body's missing, the flesh is missing, but you knew that was going to happen one day or another, but and you're a psych major like I am, and we take it that step further. How do you calm the normal psyche, maybe the psyche of a non-believer? They have nothing to hang on to. They're so physical. They're so involved in the physical world. Like, I'm okay as long as all four of these walls are around me. My feet are on the ground. Man, I've been upside down on my head in a motorcycle wreck. You got to be a little more centered regardless of where your body is and what's going on. You know, it's that eternal vision to ground yourself and have faith and trust that God is still in control. And yeah, all these crazy things around the world because we're given that freedom of choice, and some people making some pretty bad choices causing this kind of disasters. But you feel me?
Absolutely. And it's funny because we go through life in these stages. And, you know, back in the day, They was like, okay, when the year 2000 come, we're going to have flying planes and flying cars. I mean, not flying planes, flying cars. Well, we have flying planes, but flying cars or stuff like that. And then as it got, as it is, you know, as it moved closer to the year 2000, it changed. The perspective changed. It went from the flying cars and stuff like that to, well, wait, we're not going to have flying cars. It's going to be the end of the world.
Right.
Come 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And as it got closer and closer, they started developing products. And, you know, once again, our perspective has changed. Now we see, you know, it was like, we don't see the flying planes, but now it's going to be the end of the world. You know,
yeah.
You know, the new millennium. And it got closer, and they started selling products. I used to work for Circuit City, and we sold computers, and it said it's Y2K proof.
Yeah, I remember that.
you know what I mean? It's like, okay, if this is the end of the world, and only thing everybody's going around me, only thing I got is my TV, I don't really care about too much. Who's going to be reporting? Who's going to be reporting the news to me? No one.
Right.
I'm just going to have a TV. And then that passed.
Hijacked a satellite.
Yeah. And then that passed. We made it past 2000. And then as it started getting, was it 2012? That was supposed to be the end of the world because the Mayan calendar doesn't go past this marker or whatever.
Like they matter. Like that's,
you know,
that's God's word or gospel. You're like, no, you're right. And then we hear 2016.
Yeah, you know, so it keeps changing. And I just think that's really interesting.
When would the scripture say? He told us we're not, you know, God knows. But Jesus said he didn't even know. And he said, what is it? He's going to come as what? He's going to come as a light bulb parade announcing it? No. He's going to come as a thief in the night.
In the
those
night.
Of us that have lived in the hood, you don't know. I mean, you might see him walking down the street. You could see the signs. You could feel, you know, feel it a little bit, something not quite right.
Absolutely.
But
and like you said, he's going to come like a thief in the night. I've always found that verse interesting, like referring, you know, he's referring himself to a thief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said,
yeah,
people,
that's interesting.
People in the hood, you know, modern
well,
times.
If you're listening well enough, you know, when you and I, if we're listening very well enough and we're in tune, and you hear that little ch-ch-ch at your door, you're up, boom. What are you doing at my door? That's what that verse reminds me of, is that if you're paying attention and you're listening and your spirit's in tune with your surroundings, you're going to know that moment like you do when a thief is at your door or at your window. I can hear them walking through the rocks before, for real, and I'll be like, look out the window, my shotgun. You know, you got to be prepared. You got to be listening and watching for the signs of your own. Now, I don't mean just general worldly signs. Forget them. Your signs given to you by your God that puts that right in your heart, and that you can't read by anybody else but yourself.
And that, you are correct. I mean, there's nothing else I can say about that. I'll just leave that alone. I'm just going to leave that. I'm not going to touch that one at all. on a lighter note, very interesting entertainment piece here, and then we'll get into our, course, you know, our weird news.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some very interesting stuff. But there's a movie called Dwayne Johnson. Everybody know Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He's playing Hercules. He's playing Hercules.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm about to come back to that. I believe our guest is calling in.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with the Covenant Cafe.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fine. Who do we have here so people know who we have here?
This is Keisha Rollison.
everyone, we gonna, you know, did you know what to do? You didn't know you had a fan club here at the Covenant Cafe, did you?
Not at all.
Charlie, you have something to say? I thought you were about to say something.
Hi. No, I was just going to join in and say hello, hello. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Blessed, very blessed. Too blessed to be stressed, that's for sure. Good to have you on.
Right.
Good to have you on.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do is our partner in crime that does the interviews, he's not with us right now. He's off on another adventure. But, however, I'm going to use some of his words, okay? He likes to call it a blind interview, although we received your information. So
okay.
We're going to go about the interview like we don't even know who you are. We didn't receive any information about you.
Okay.
Who are you?
Well, I am, as I said before, I am the runner-up of Season 6 Sunday Best. I am 32 years old. I love music, of course, and most of all, I love God. And I love the people of God. So, hey, y'all.
you love God.
Definitely. Definitely.
Question, and I know everybody always asks you, how was it like being on the season, on Sunday's Best?
It like? To me, it was amazing and crazy all at the same time. I've done a lot of interviews, and they always ask me that. So that would have been my same answer, because being on that show is fun, is amazing, is great exposure. It teaches you, you know, it disciplines you as an artist, just to become a better artist. But at the same time, it's crazy, too, because you have to understand being on that type of show is a business as well. So it's some ups and downs with it. But at the end of the day, I love every bit of it, whether it was good, whether it was bad. Pastor Kim Burrell and Uncle Donnie and them, like, you know, they taught me a whole lot, and just to, you know, just to make me a better artist. And so I enjoyed it. I loved every bit of it.
That's awesome. Now, okay, I understand you are a believer in God. Now, what made you say, I'm going to go audition? Because, like, some people are like, nah, you know, I'm not going to be the one they're going to be picked. I'm not going to even get past the first round or the basic when they picking the contestants for the show. I'm not going to get past that. What made you say, okay, I'm going to just go try out?
My story is a little different from everybody, because the night before I actually tried to hide from my family, I booked a hotel and I went and I hid and I said, Mommy, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not being let down again, because I tried out for Season 3. And, you know, not understanding the whole, you know, how the process was, you know, I felt like I was disappointed and I was let down. So I was just like, you know, 3 years later, I'm like, Mom, I'm not doing this again. Like, I'm not going to go through this same thing again, because if you're not strong-minded as far as an artist, you will want to give up, like, being in that type of situation. But, you know, my family, we're a very, very close family, so, you know, they was just pushing me, and they was just like, do it this time, like, do it, like, you got to do it, like, I believe God is going to work in your favor this time, so just take that chance. And, you know, I did it, and even through the auditions, and it's even on my Instagram, you'll see different pictures. You see it all in my face. I'm just like, I don't want to be here. But you may say you don't want to do something, but when God has a plan for you and has great things for your life, you have no choice. When you're chosen to and you're on assignment, you have no choice. So I did it because my family pushed me, and God had a plan for me. So I was obedient, and I did it, and I made it to the top two. So God is good.
Oh, that's awesome. So your mom was just like, hey, yo, I want you to do this, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she had to get real, you know, real thug with me.
You're going to do this, you know what I'm saying? You're going to do this for not just you. You're going to do it for your family. No, I'm just messing with you. But now, as Sunday's Best, I'm going to ask you an interesting question. Have you had what is the strangest invitation that you've had thus far since you've been on the show? The most random invitation to come out to do whatever.
I've gotten some weird. I get a lot of you mean as far as like different gigs and stuff like that, or just like period?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, somebody hit because my mother is my manager, so she, you know, a lot of different emails she get and stuff like that. We had a person that contacted us, and this guy or this pastor, whoever he was, he wanted me to move. Like relocate to Texas, no information, no nothing. They just like, oh, we want you to be the praise and worship leader, blah blah blah. But it was really, really weird. I was just like, Mom, I got this weird feeling. Like, leave that man where he at, cause that's a little weird. So we get a lot of those, you know, type of people that say they this, say that, and then turn out to be some craziness or some foolishness behind it. That's why I have to stay straight up. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, I get a lot of crazy, you know, invitations to different places, and I'll be like, no, I don't think I'm going there. So, yeah.
Wow. And the reason why I say that, because when people see people just rise, really, you know, rise like that, they send these requests out like they can't actually be fulfilled, you know. You move into Texas to be a worship leader for their church with no information is incredible. Wow.
Yeah,
man.
I was just like, I'm like, why would I move to Texas? And I don't know any now. If it was something different, you know, and I got full details, I seen pictures of this, it was confirmation, blah, blah, blah. Maybe, you know, maybe. But to just want me to come out there and want just to, just your word, no, I don't, no thank you. no disrespect.
There's
no
a big difference.
Yeah,
big difference between somebody like if T.D. Jakes hit you and said, hey, I want you to come out and do a spotlight something for us on this date, you'd be like, give me my ticket, you know.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Not, yeah.
And the crazy part was they don't even have a building, so I'm just like, okay, you know, so.
So
yeah, we just did some craziness.
So they didn't have a building?
They don't have a building. They just have a vision. And I'm just like, all right, well.
And you're going to fulfill that. You're going to come here and do it. Well, they feel off of your spirit. You know, they're guided to that light.
Wow.
That person has something. And you're like, yeah, you got to be careful with that.
Wow. No building. Just come out here and move. And, wow. Okay. Okay, so that's hilarious. So, no pun intended, moving on, you know what I'm about to talk about, right?
What's up?
Your song. But, okay, everybody have a writing style. What is your writing style? What, I mean, like, do you wake up in the middle of the night, like, I'm about to write this bomb song for Jesus? Or are you feel in the moment and you're like, man, I am feeling something in my spirit. It's a big difference there.
I don't have a specific style of writing because I can be having a conversation. Like, I'm having a conversation with you, and a melody will come to my head. And, you know, if this wasn't a radio interview, I would say, I got to call you right back because I need to record this voice memo real quick. So
yeah,
it can happen anytime. Like, the other day, I was in Walmart getting a few things. And all of a sudden, this melody came to my head. So I'm walking around, people looking at me like I'm crazy because I'm really going in, like, doing these voice memos on my phone. So it looked like I'm talking to myself. But it happens to me anytime. Like, I could be anywhere, and I can just get an idea. I could be listening to a commercial and get an idea and turn it into a whole song. So And it can happen at any moment with me. I don't have a specific time where I just go and write. So.
Mhm. Wow. All right. So now this particular song, Moving On, how did this particular song come about?
Well, being though that I'm a producer as well, I have a bunch of producer friends that always send me different tracks and stuff like that, and we share different ideas. And a friend of mine, her name is Fran, she's another female producer, sent me the track and was just like, sis, can you do something with this? So I was like, of course, this is my style all the way. So I listened to it a few times, and then I sat with my two sisters, and they just started writing to it. So I just let them go ahead and do their thing, and they just wrote the whole song, and they was like, sing it this way, sing it like this. So they gave me instructions. I went in the studio and recorded it within like the next 3 hours and was done. So.
Mm. Wow.
And
okay,
and it's pretty much a testimony. Like, like I told you, me and my family, we're really, really close. So they can relate to a lot of things that I go through. A lot of times they know what I'm thinking when I don't even think. You know what I mean? Like, they just know sometimes. So for them to be able to write out everything pretty much like my testimony, it was just amazing to me. So I try my best to promote that song so much, because it's really special to me because my sisters wrote it.
Mm. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and play your song.
Okay.
And we'll come back. So don't go anywhere, okay? Like, don't
All
go
right.
anywhere like to Texas or nothing like that, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Moving On here on the Covenant Test.
Hey. Like this. Pressure.
awesome, awesome song.
Thank you.
So do you have any projects coming up that you want to discuss?
I'm working on my album. I'm excited about that. And I'm also getting ready to bring out a single entitled I'm a Winner. So y'all definitely be looking out for that. It actually was supposed to be out before, but, you know, due to different circumstances from me being on the show, I had to handle some things. So, you know, to God be the glory, all things work well. And like I said, y'all be looking out for that. It'll be posted everywhere. Everybody will know about it. So I'm excited. I'm always excited about, you know, music, so.
All right. Now, are you on the social networks?
Yeah, definitely.
Instagram, Facebook,
Instagram, Twitter. Just hit me up, Keefia Rollinson. Follow me. I definitely follow back. I love to interact with everybody. And I'm not one of those bougie artists that feel like I have arrived and all of that stuff. So hit me up. I love to conversate with you.
Now, do you have any other endeavors that you want to get into outside of singing?
I don't know, because I think I would be lost without music. But I'm like working on some different things as far as a record label that's getting ready to, you know, come together. And I actually have like this competition that I'm doing to give back to different up-and-coming artists. I love the whole CEO status. I love being a businesswoman, and I'm teaching myself and I'm learning, you know, from others or whatever. So I have a competition that I'm doing with some great judges that's a part of it, and I have a great team that's just working so hard to make this be a great success. And it's just pretty much giving back to artists who've been pushed aside, who've been outcast because of how they look or, you know, just how they sound or different things, like whatever the circumstance is, whether how their lifestyle is, just whatever. At the end of the day, I feel like everybody has a soul that needs to be saved, so somebody got to reach back out and pull them back in. So, you know, in hell they will not lift their eyes. So somebody got to do something. So I put this competition together called an outlet for the Outcast Music Competition, and I've received a great amount of you know, just respect for it and different responses. It's going to be great. So y'all definitely look out for that too.
Awesome, awesome. Charlie, did you have anything for the young lady?
Yeah. Right. No, just actually wanted to congratulate you. I think you're an awesome artist. It sounds like you got to get a head on your shoulders. Just keep that faith. Keep that faith, girl. Don't let nothing distract you, cause especially you, you know, having overcame what you overcame to get to the point that you're at now is going to be a definite, definite uplift for what you're trying to do now, being an advocate for those that are less fortunate. I always put myself in a misfit crew is what I call it. We're just a band of misfits.
Exactly.
You know, being Christian and in the industry does it. So keep up the good work and many, many blessings. Definitely we'll hit you up on Facebook. What's your what is your Facebook name and stuff? Can you spell it out for us?
Keefia Rollinson, KEFIA Rollinson, RollerSON.
Okay.
And that's for all of my social media networks.
Awesome. Keep it simple. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. We'll definitely hit you up on there.
Absolutely. I mean, I love your voice. It's a very powerful, powerful voice.
Thank you.
It's one of those timeless situations where, you know, you hear certain artists, you can say, well, that's going to last for right now, but what are they going to do when that plays out? You have that structure that's going to be like, okay, this is it, you know. Of course, everybody will always want to improve on themselves. We are our worst critics. But you have that sound that's just going to be like, you know, you're going to play it, you know, it's going to carry on. Just like this song here, you can play this 5 years from now, and people are like, oh, this is a new song? No, man, it came out 5 years ago. For real? You have artists that, that's just that timeless. And Kiefer, you are definitely on a roll. And just like I said, keep your eyes towards God, because in the arena that you're in, you know, all eyes on you, you know, right now. And people, you know, like I said, the devil is busy. And that's why I asked you the question that I asked about, like, the weird things that comes about. You said mm-hmm. the person, they only have a building, and they ask you to move. You know,
yeah.
And you have to be careful of, like, okay, what is your agenda? You know deep inside, okay, you're not going to move, but what is your agenda? What do you plan to do to me? I mean, like, you think I'm really going to uproot and move out there with just your vision?
Absolutely.
And this is not the fill the dreams, build it, and they will come. No, we're going to stay here until you build it, okay?
Exactly. Yeah, your discernment definitely has to be on point, and you definitely have to be prayed up, you know, because it's a lot of frauds out here and different spirits of fraudulent people. So, yes. And my parents are really, really protective over me anyway. My father, he's a bishop, and, you know, he stayed praying for me, so, you know, to keep me covered, because it's really crazy out here. This industry is crazy, so I know what you mean. Definitely know what I mean.
Where do you live at?
I'm sorry?
Where do you live at?
Oh, I live in
Lake City.
Yeah, I live in Delaware.
Okay.
I'm from Philly, but I've been in Delaware for about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So we definitely really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule to call in and making yourself available. And it's definitely a pleasure to speak with you.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And like I said, keep your head up. And just remember that you have a fan club.
That's too cute. That's too cute. Thank you. Thank y'all so much.
All right. No problem. You have a good night. We'll be talking again.
You too.
Okay.
Take care.
Hello. Bye-bye.
Bye. She was awesome.
Yes. Wonderful. Awesome spirit.
Absolutely, and that was funny about that person. You know, that's just when you and I were just talking before she even came on, you know, about all the different challenges and things that'll come at you. She said it right on the head, staying prayed up, you know, Ephesians 6:10, a little further where we were studying today,
mm-hmm.
you know, putting on the armor of God. I mean, that obviously is one of the, you know, when you get a weird person like that hitting you up, stalkerish kind of attitude, obviously inexperienced, just one of the lower soldiers on the adversary's boat. But still, she recognized that, so it's good.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so interesting, like, you expect me to up and move.
Yeah, right. Come here, I got an apartment built for you with some chains and handcuffs. I don't think so.
Yeah, nothing, I mean... That left me speechless.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was born in Hollywood, Lamont, and ever since I was a little girl out there, you know, my parents wouldn't let me in the limelight, wouldn't let me get into the modeling world, and I was so upset, like, you guys are just trying to ruin my career, but they're right. You know, everybody out there is a photographer and a producer and a all these things, and really it's just Satan's lair of traps to see if you're hung up on yourself. If she would have been somebody who wasn't as, you know, as close to the Lord, prayed up and have good parents that are guiding her appropriately,
mm-hmm.
and just a lonely soul, she might have fallen for something like that, you know, looking for that self-glory, because you see that, the difference there between using her gift for the glory of God out and abroad and as, you know, as open as possible, compared to somebody who contact her and say, well, will you just come over here and sing in my house? No, that's not what my gift's for, you know, or to be led off to him thinking that she's going to be some big star when he, that person's a nobody, trying to lure you away. And that happens all the time. You see it. All those top stars right now that are the quote-unquote Illuminati crew or whatever, snatching those little souls up left and right. A lot of those people you and I know, personally, some of them, we know their gift is better than they're using it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there'll be many gifts given, talents, and when Christ comes back and says, what'd you do with the talents? I buried them. Okay, great. I took them and magnified them 1,000, or did you use them all up and just give one back?
Mm.
You got to decide, and that's an important choice, and you will be tested. That's how I look at it when I hear her and see her, her abilities to affect thousands and thousands, maybe even millions of people. She could get caught up in going the wrong way and affecting nobody but turning people like, you know, Cain-style crew. Oh, let's all do it this way. No, let's not. Let's stick to this side and,
mm-hmm.
and lift up, you know, lift God up and use our words that way. And, but, yeah, so I'm off my soapbox. So.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, that guidance is so, so important. And like mm-hmm. she said, you have to stay prayed up. You have to. Because if you don't, yep. these guys and girls will come out mm-hmm. what work and try to offer you the world on their false dream. You know what I mean?
Distractions. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Before we went to our interview, we were discussing The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Everybody's
yeah.
familiar with Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, I saw the screen on that last night.
Yeah, currently, you know, he's shooting a movie, the title Hercules. Everybody's familiar with Hercules. His crew, 50 crew members, were fired. For sneaking
wow.
pictures, yeah, on the
for
set. What was that?
Why did that happen?
Well, they were taking pictures on the set, and each set, and I've been on sets where you cannot take pictures. I don't care what you're doing, you cannot take pictures. And I can get into the story. The story says Paramount Pictures and MGM were evidently even more secretive about the upcoming Hercules than initially anticipated. Star Dwayne Johnson told Cinema Blend that the studios were so stern about keeping the iconic character's full lock under wraps that they fired dozens of people for attempting to take photos of him in costume. I would say maybe close to 50 were fired, crew members, all trying to sneak pictures. I'm going to stop right there. Okay.
Okay.
I understand the first person. Okay.
Yeah.
And the second person, like, man, I didn't know why he got fired. But I would hate to be that 50th person.
Did you learn by the 50th?
Yeah. I mean, like you didn't get the memo. They're firing people. You don't think you're gonna be that?
Right.
Sometimes
I wonder how much those pictures are going for, Lamont. That makes that risk so great. They're willing to throw their job, maybe even their credibility, away forever. And you know, the movie industry is really. You and I both know how they are. Everybody knows everybody and talks to me. You know everybody's abilities. You want to be known as that one who kept just, you know, coming over there like a little puppy coming over, do-do-do-do-do-do, try to take a bite, you know?
Yeah.
That I wonder what those pictures are worth.
And it's like, what happens with people in numbers, okay? If, you know, only a couple people got fired, you're like, well, okay, just a couple people. Mm-hmm. But when you're that 48th or 49th person, you're like, man, they're not going to fire no more. They've already fired about 40 people. They're not going to go
right.
more than that. That's just, that'll be ridiculous. Don't worry about it. I'm still going to get my picture.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired. Wait a minute. That made me 50. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing?
You're number 51, stupid person.
Yeah.
Today. No.
the story goes on and said there's a mandate, and we all agreed on that. Johnson himself tweeted numerous pictures. This is interesting. Johnson himself tweeted numerous pics of the set of swords and sandals epic okay, but always teased his character's new look, complete with full beard, without giving anything away. He said he asked the studio to have faith in his social media prowess. He told the, the studio, hey, what I like to do is to take the audience and the fans on a journey from beginning to end because it's such a passion project for me. So from the time I get to Budapest, I like to take them on a journey in terms of what my diet is, what my training is, and on set too, he told the site. They said, well, how are you going to do that? He said, well, trust me, somehow I'm going to do it. After revealing the first footage from the movie Hercules, which is Brett Ratner's, Paramount released the first trailer for the film on Tuesday. So you guys, the trailer is out now, and the movie follows, of course, the Greek demigod after he completes the 12 labors. So.
Know that the special effects are going to be off the chain. I saw last night when I went to go see that movie Noah.
Uh-huh.
I saw the previews for that. I mean, it's like you're just going to be blown away. You know, the cinematography is insane.
Yeah, I bet. And the thing is, I don't get it because like when you work on a set, you just know certain things. Okay, you know. When you're on set, if you want to take a picture, you have to ask. You have to get permission to say, hey, I want to take a picture while I'm in my costume or on set. And they will let you know, yes, you can take this picture. And some people will say, yes, you can take pictures, but you have to sign a waiver stating that you're not going to share this on social media sites.
Right. Mm-hmm. Inquiring
because,
minds
people
want to know.
Well, the thing is, you want to take pictures and say, okay, I was here. I was on set. We all want to do, we all do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you still got to get permission. If they say no, they say no. I mean, people just got to wait to see if you're in the movie or if you're in the credits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
50,
it's a persona.
50 people. It took 50 people to get the picture.
Get your sound effect out. Whoosh.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
They need it.
And one more. And another. And
shame.
That's a lot of, how many people, how many more, how many people already know on that set? Oh, that 50 have already been fired. How many? That's what I want to know. Like, is it going down the line? People telling that people getting fired, or are people being secretive about people getting fired? But needless to say, I'm going to get into a song, and we're going to come back with the weird news. And here is our connection when we're talking about this big number of 50 people that got fired. How many more? How many people know? And the next thing I'm going to say is the song we're going to play is Candace Chavez. How many know? How about that? That's
there you go.
How many know? Here it is. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, you got to do a little remix right there. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time for... Hello? It's the Weird News segment. Let's drop some interesting stories on these people. Y'all ready? You ready?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, here's the deal. Here is the deal right now. A Georgia bank accidentally deposited $31,000 in a teen's account.
Wow. That's a test.
$31. How many thousand dollars? Now, the problem is First Citizens Bank wants the money back.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? The Ruha started March 7th when a man with the same name as the 18-year-old boy attempted to deposit $31,000 at the branch in Madison County, Georgia. Because of a teller, error, the money was put into the account of the teenager instead of the depositor. About 10 days later, the man noticed the money wasn't in his account. He contacted the bank, which finally figured out who was credited the cash. Teenager apparently recognized the error much sooner. Guess what? The records show, check this out, that he had withdrawn $20,000 in cash.
Wow.
And spent another $5,000 using his debit card before the bank figured out what happened. He withdrew $20,000. Okay? Now the teenager, spendthrift, visited the bank on March 18th attempting to withdraw more money from the account. The bank informed him of the mistake. The 18-year-old insisted the teller, like, look, the money was from his inheritance, so the guy started lying about the money. Well, however, the account was frozen to prevent further withdrawals. On the behalf of the bank, sheriff's deputies have contacted the king, and they told the team told the authorities that he had resolved the issue at the bank. That he will resolve the issue with the bank to avoid jail time. As of Wednesday, he has not returned to the bank.
No kidding.
Yes. Bank officials said last week they pressed charges if the money wasn't returned. But as of Thursday, no charges have been filed.
Wonder if he's 18.
What? Yeah. And see, if he's really 18, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because he's not 18. He's not going to be held accountable as an adult, but shame on the bank. Mm.
31.
No, that's a big mistake.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge mistake. And the boy knew it. And he's probably had his parents up to it, too. I mean, he's like,
yeah.
Why would a teenager withdraw $20,000 plus another $5,000 separately to try to, in an attempt to try to collect as much as that money they could?
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence with this because he's a teenager. He knows better.
Yeah.
He knows better. He's a teenager. But, yeah, still, I think they need to investigate the parents or whoever his guardian is.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm quite sure they're like, what, $31,000? Well, let's get that money out of the bank before they realize what's going on.
Right.
Now they're going to press charges, and then he's going to end up taking the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Bad parent.
Yeah.
Bad parent.
Yeah.
More news at the door. I tell you, I had some interesting news today. Check this out.
Yeah.
Utah man finds bones in his backyard, and they're probably human.
Oh.
Yes. A Utah man uncovered some old bones while digging in a pond in his backyard on Wednesday. He thought they looked human, so he called the Salt Lake City police. Police handed the bones over to state medical examiners, who suspected that the bones are human and very old. I'm quite sure they're not young and new.
Right.
I've had cases before where I've seen they've just brought in bones back and booked them into evidence, but there must be something with this case where they actually got the medical examiner involved. Usually fragments and stuff like that, but this is like a whole skeletal remain, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of history there. In Utah, yeah.
So, yeah, in Utah, I lived there for a while, and there's a lot of, you know, the pioneers and Indian wars and the United States government calling a war out on the people there, all kinds of stuff, you know, happen out there. But, yeah, that's a whole big piece. Depends how old that neighborhood is. If I knew the quadrants, I would know, you know, having done real estate out there, kind of, what the possibilities of it really being maybe a murder or just a random finding, you know, because I found a headstone in my backyard, I'll tell you.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, I had 5 acres, you know, but it was like, and it's such a small area. I had somebody at church, I told the fire department guy that worked there, and he's like, we've been looking for that. And I'm like, you people are weird.
You've been looking
for it? Well, it's in my backyard. Mm-hmm. But so what else did they say? They had the medical examiner looking at it.
Yeah,
to date the bone.
So they're gonna be testing that. Now the homeowner has been asked to put his project on hold while the matter is being investigated. Now it's uncommon, you know, although it's uncommon for, you know, but other people have found bones in their backyard. In 2012, an Iowa family was out picking blueberries in the woods near their home when they stumbled across a mammoth femur just jutting out of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then later that year, a Michigan boy who was helping his dad construct a dam in their backyard found a 13,000-year-old old mastodon vertebrae.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine you just finding these fossils?
Yeah, I wouldn't be sleeping. I would be thinking until they told me where that came from, how long it's been there. Start thinking about those crazy movies we watched as kids, you know, like Poltergeist or he's like, hold on. But, I remember they found a print of a dinosaur, you know, mud fossilized out there in Utah before, in the southern half.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of stuff like that. But I know in Las Vegas, my ex-husband actually had been on a project. Of course, Las Vegas, you expect there's lots of bodies out there, you know, for various reasons. But they stopped the whole building project out there and quadranted it off. It was like in 2000 or 2001. That it happened. It is a child size, though, so it was kind of odd out in the desert, you know, on a project. But, yep, those things done in dark light, you know.
I think it's very interesting. Those are interesting finds. Like, you know, I think maybe over half of America would agree with me on this. I think finding those type of bones, like the mammoth and stuff like that, is more interesting and less scary than finding bones in your backyard. I mean, like human bones.
Right. Yep, I would agree. I remember Griffith Park, you know, where the bats at in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my brother, and it just might be we're everywhere, but we were running up and down the hill and stuff, and I stopped and I saw a skull, you know, like an old, looked like something we had seen, you know, at the history museum, and I run down the hill and I tell my dad, who we've talked before works World Security, and I said, somebody's head's up there. I was like in fifth grade. My dad went up there, and he's like, out, let's go. He made a couple calls, and they had that whole area quadrant off. Now, that was during the Hillside Strangler issues, you know, mm-hmm. back then, so I don't know. But, I mean, it was like nothing on it. It was just like bone, pure bone, you know, been picked off or fell off or whatever. But it was just the head, like above the jaw and up. And I remember running down the hill, and I go, what's that? I went, whoa. I go tell my dad about this. But that's in the middle of Los Angeles. So that's a little weird, you know, the park. Then where the observatory is and the sign that says Hollywood, right, really close to that. But, mm-hmm. yeah, very strange.
I think it's very
weird.
Well, yeah, it's weird. But like I said, ultimately, if I was to come across something like that, I would want to come across something historic, like, Even if it was Indian bones or stuff like that, I still would be kind of freaked
uh-huh.
out about it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But if it's something in the fact that it's, you know, an animal or something like that's 20,000 years old or stuff like that, it's got to be interesting to find, like, yo, I found the mammoth in my backyard. Like, wow, you got a backyard. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to close our segment of the Weird News with this. Five of the craziest crimes of the week. You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're ready.
Yeah, give it to us.
Okay.
Hear.
All right. Now, Christopher Reeves. Yes, you have heard. Yeah, that's, I did say it. Christopher Reeves arrested in Superman shirt. A surefire way to have your otherwise nondescript arrest on drug charges make headlines is to have the name Christopher Reeves and get caught while wearing a Superman shirt. The witness stuck out to the police in the Davis County, Utah. So this guy his name is Christopher Reeves, and he got caught, you know, and he's actually wearing a Superman shirt. Okay. That's a reminder. I mean it's just funny because that's going to stick out in their head. Anytime you do something, they're going to know your face because they remember that outfit.
Right.
Number two, police find mom hiding in bedroom at teen party. Not that unusual. Cops show up to bust a teen party involving booze and find someone hiding in a bedroom. Unusual. Mm-hmm. The unusual, that person is the home's 56-year-old owner and mother to the 18-year-old who threw the bash.
Wow, that's aiding and abetting and child endangerment, all kind of things come to head. They've passed a law here about that in Arizona where I'm at. If that happens, like it was even just home,
mm-hmm.
and the kids were to come in here, they will fine you. They will make you go do these classes. They will cite you. You will get, you know, hit with, like, aiding and abetting, you know, children have alcohol. The only one that's an 18-year-old, not even supposed to have alcohol yet. But, mm-hmm. yep, that's some serious business.
Now, check this out. We on number three. Man freed after 15 years. Free. However, he robs the same store.
Oh, wow. Maybe he just had a flashback. Let me just go try this one more time and see if I can do it right.
Yes. Christopher Miller. What's up with the Christophers today? However,
yeah, right?
Christopher Miller robbed the Stride Right shoe store in Toms River, New Jersey in 1999, got caught and served 15 years in state prison. Police say he became a free man last Friday and celebrated by catching a bus to Toms River and, yes, robbing the same Stride Right shoe store.
It was still
this
there.
This didn't go over so well as well. And once again, this top five mentions the teen situation again. This one, like I said earlier, the teen gets $31,000 in the bank error. He also went shopping. This one is really not a crime yet until he's convicted. But the clock is ticking. After a bank mistakenly deposited, once again, the $31,000 in an 18-year-old's bank account, he immediately spent $5,000 with his ATM card and withdrew another $20,000 in cash. Problem, now the bank wants the money back. What are you going to do? That's a lot of grass, the grass that he has to cut.
Right. Community service, something. You know you can't pull that kind of money together at once.
No. No, no. And here's the last one. You get this one, and then... Guy burned down house to impress woman. Well, this is one way to try and score a date, but police say a North Dakota man burned down a farmhouse to impress a lady. It was a very strange chain of events that ultimately led to this discovery, which got Frederick Jr. charged with arson. Wow.
Yep. That's a federal offense.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, I'm quite sure the girl wasn't that hot. No pun intended.
You're bad. You ain't that hot.
Yeah, you ain't that hot. Wow.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. What are you doing? What is wrong? What is wrong? However, I guess he was curious to see if they would continue on dating or get a date. He was curious about that.
And not a hot item no more.
However, since he was curious about, you know, if he can burn down a building to have his love just love him more than ever, we're going to play Andy Mineo's song, Curious, here on the Covenant Cafe. We'll be right back.
Look, I don't care who you are, you can relate to this one. You know, some people are in your life for a short season of time, and it's almost better that you bury the memories of them because you've already moved on, and holding on to it just don't make no sense. Sometimes we go and dig it up, like, just curious.
Is it corny if I admit that I check up on you from time to time when I'm on the net? I promise I ain't no stalker, it's so awkward when I actually come across you. I act like I ain't bothered a bit. And you know what that is, and I know too. That's pride mixed with lies, mixed with I want you. Kinda maybe soda, or the could be off. Often I wonder if I regret what I lost at a later time. Could my state of mind make me blind? I pray it isn't. If it was, I wouldn't admit it. I thought that I was heading in the right direction, but maybe loneliness has got me second guessing. I got some fly women, they follow me on Twitter. I think I DM them. Alright, I'm tripping. But I'm hardwired for intimacy, so why does my loneliness lead to compromise? Oh, contentment come quick. Right.
Is it weird? It's been a few years. We celebrated the ball dropping together.
Cheers.
There's stuff you used to wear, different products in your hair. Wanna smell them in the air? I feel like it's somewhere near. Is it me? Is it you? Was it lie? Was it truth? Maybe it's just that nobody's ever good enough for you. Okay, I swear I'm going through. Ask my homie what to do. He said, boy, listen here, 'cause I'm finna tell the truth. Everybody think about their exes. Even if you got kids, married to your best friend, and them memories are easily made but hard to forget, 'cause they etched up in your heart the good times and regrets. It's curiosity gets you in trouble, especially if it's forbidden kind that you run to. Oh yeah, man, you're more sensitive than you'll ever admit, so be careful who you make memories with. The secret is to learn what it means to be content and celebrate what God's given, not the things he didn't. Our heart is always longing for more and it want to bug out. That's why we gotta drink from that water that never run out. But sometimes
I'm still curious.
Sometimes I'm still.
I'm still curious.
I'm still.
It takes a moment to make memories, a lifetime to forget them.
Forget them.
Curious. That's why I'm.
Takes a moment to make memories, a lifetime to forget them. That's why I'm
curious.
It takes a moment to make memories, a lifetime to forget them. That's why I'm.
Nice song, huh?
Yeah, that was really good.
Very, very nice song. Yeah, it's very dope. Very, very dope song. So what we're going to do is we have an always forget about that part in the song.
I thought it was a new part.
I always forget that part. And yeah, it's all good. It's all good. But I have an inspirational story I want to share with you guys. And this story actually came from inspirational-poems.net. We didn't write this, okay? So I had to put that, I want to put that out there because people always, you know, want to say, I don't put it like this. I don't want to take credit for something that's not mine. That's the best way I can say it, right?
Yep.
Then,
I didn't write it either.
You said what?
I said I didn't write it either.
Yes, exactly. Neither one of us did. We didn't write this. And it's titled, Boy Who Lost, There Once Was a Little Boy Who Had a Bad Temper. His father gave him a bag of nails and told him that every time he lost his temper, he must hammer a nail into the back of the fence. The first day, the boy had driven 43 nails into the fence. Over the next few weeks, as he learned to control his anger, the number of nails hammered daily gradually dwindled down. He discovered it was easier to hold his temper than to drive those nails into the fence. Finally, the day came when the boy didn't lose his temper at all. He told his father about it, and the father suggested that the boy now pull out one nail for each day that he was able to lose to hold his temper. The days passed as the young boy was finally able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. The father took his son by the hand and led him to the fence. He said, "You have done well, my son, but look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same. When you say things in anger, they leave a scar just like this one. You can put a knife in a man and draw it out, but it won't matter how many times you say, 'I'm sorry,' the wound will still be there. A verbal wound is bad as a physical one." That is an amazing story.
Uh-huh. It is. Yes.
We tend to say things in anger. There are times we try to correct ourselves. We try to catch ourselves. We try a lot of things, and that right there was a great lesson, because you can see, you can physically see all the holes that you plugged in that fence. You know, it's just like hanging up a picture. When you make them, you put the nail, the little nail, you put it in there, the picture is crooked. I got to adjust it. Then you take that nail out and you put another hole. Then you might end up with three or four holes, but then you got the right one, but those other ones are still there.
Mm-hmm. Evidentiary of that mistake.
You say that again?
I said evidentiary of a mistake. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, so I believe that was, I've read that one before, and it's always like every time I read it, it drives home a point that we all have to be careful of what we say.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we can
say some interesting things to people, but we don't tend to understand when we say, okay, I'm sorry. When we say I'm sorry, then you think the person's supposed to forgive you right then. But they might say it on the outside and say, hey, you know, that's cool. But on the inside, they hurt. And it goes, and that transcends actually all down to bullying and what's going on in the school system with young folks today.
Uh-huh.
Bullying is a big thing. And what's happened, and we've had this discussion before, when we were coming up, bullying existed, but it was only a local thing. So say like if you were picked on in your neighborhood only knew that you were picked on, not the whole school. But because of the media and all these other outlets, the whole world, you know, everybody, the next neighborhood over, people in the school know. So if you guys,
the whole world,
yeah, it's crazy because that is your image,
right? You know, no matter how fake or real it may be, you're right. And it's like your parents, and you know, when you're a kid, you go, man, everybody's doing it, everybody this and that, or everybody thinks this. Now come on, you're just at school. No, you're on the whole world wide web. Makes a whole new ouch, you know.
And it's incredible. And a lot of people who are, there are a lot of people, you know, don't understand that, well, it, you know, I was just playing. I was just playing.
Yep. It says you got to bridle your tongue. Got to bridle that tongue, and you know, words are things. That's the thing. When Jesus said, "Tell," you know, operative word, speak to that mountain, and tell it to jump in the ocean, and it will. My goodness, what else can you speak into existence? I speak blessings on your life, Lamont. I pray and I speak that sickness to leave your body, or you use the other words, you could speak evil into, and the opposite then too, right? Good is good, evil is evil.
So by using words, they have emotions attached with them. You can literally make somebody physically sick by what you say to them because of the, and you know, like I've studied in our psychology classes and how our chemicals released in our bodies, well, that's attributed to your emotions. If you get an emotional release, no matter if it's made make-believe or made up in your head, excuse me, just by what somebody says to you for the day can set you on high. And you're right, we've spoke about this before. I can make your day and you will just bless so many other people based on how I treated you at that moment versus if I treated you incorrectly and spoke bad words over your life, my goodness. And to set your emotion off, that reverberating effect could be endless, could be catastrophic. You know, who knows what kind of day that airplane pilot had or, you know what I'm saying, that caused that. Who knows? That could have been a whole issue there too. Words can kill. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. You continue because you're absolutely right. These and that's what's happening. They're looking up these when you're on Facebook, and it, how can I say? Okay, even if it's something bad, you would think that okay, we'll just stop looking at it. But sometimes people just want to find out who else is saying this.
Right. Well, who many likes did it get?
Yeah. And then if it didn't get any likes, most likely they was like, okay, well, you know, everybody's on my side. But if it got like 100 likes, that means you feel like everybody is against you. That's when that the world is against me.
Yeah. Yep. And those words, you know, I just looked up in my topical guide on my scriptures, and you just look up the word, and it'll give you various little examples. You know, I mean, when God spoke all these worlds, my goodness, the world was created. You know, that's like the top dog one that sticks out at me. But also idol words, you know, there's lots of reference to the words, you know, out of his mouth are pure words. Now, you know, that's in Psalms, but there's so many things, even within Proverbs, that, you know, things that are spoken in a due season, you know, that do wonders around the world. But by the same token, being used incorrectly, you know, like Isaiah says, you know, words of our God shall stand forever. You know, that's just showing you that words aren't to be taken lightly as part of that, you know, self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes, you know, family to family. People hand that down. I mean, I have that personal experience of things that I've heard, you know, certain adults around me speak unto certain children without naming names that has a huge reverberating effect in how they feel about themselves, how they're going to grow up, and the younger that they are. And then they just start doing it. They're doing it to each other. They go to school and you don't know what's being told to them at home, and the siblings that do it to each other. It's a form of abuse, and that's just another one of those ailments. But we can cure it if we all just stopped and said, maybe I'm going to think before I open my mouth, like my mom used to say, you know, because in Matthew it tells you every idle word that men shall speak. That's in Matthew 12:36. Every idle word. So that just means the this and the that and the is in between. My goodness, that don't do good works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has a reverberating effect, and the Bible is very clear and confirms, you know, with signs and everything that when things are said, you know, his word doesn't, it tells you, in fact, what is it? God's word does not come back void. If his word doesn't come back void and we're made in his image and likeness, our words are not coming back void either, good or bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So got to be careful with them words.
That's some interesting stuff there. Very, very interesting stuff, things there. While you were talking, I seen Deacon. He was slowly approaching the door. So. Yes, amen, amen. Before I get started, how are you doing there, Miss Charlie, the lady of the Covenant Cafe? How are you doing?
I am doing absolutely fabulous.
That is awesome.
How are you?
That is awesome. because what I'm going to tell you is this. Acts 18:10, for I am with you and no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. Amen.
Amen.
To protect you. I am not so certain that the words that come out of Lamont's mouth and Lacey's mouth are here to protect you because I am here to protect you. Amen? Because therefore I urge you, brothers, in a view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And where I'm going with this is I am sacrificing my time, my body, to be on here on the Covenant Cafe. Amen? And that is Romans 12:1. And let me tell you this. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision saying, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking and do not be silent. That's Acts 18:9. So I am not going to be afraid to come on the Covenant Cafe. And I'm going to keep speaking, and I'm not going to be silent. Amen?
Amen.
So what I'm going to do is, of course, get into my favorite segment of the show when I bring you some interesting facts from along the way. I'm always curious. I always like to impart knowledge upon my people. Amen? Because I'm not afraid to say things. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the useless facts, some people might say that they don't care about these facts. I care about these facts because I know these facts. They are facts, so they are true. Did you know that no one really knows when donuts were invented or who invented them?
No. Who?
Did you know apples, potatoes, and onions all taste the same when eating with your nose plugged?
Uh-oh.
And did you know when an egg floats in water, it is off and should not be eaten? And did you know that the consumption of natural vanilla causes the body to release a special adrenaline? And for this reason, it is considered to be mildly addictive?
No, did not know that.
Did you know that's why I am here? I am not being silent. I am imparting my knowledge onto you. Did you know that banana trees aren't exactly trees? They are giant herbs.
No, I didn't know that.
Now, and also, did you know that ketchup was originally a fish sauce originating in the Orient?
No, I didn't know that.
And nutritious foods cost 10 times as much as junk food?
Yeah, that I do know.
Amen. And did you know that chicken today contains 266% more fat than it did 40 years ago?
No, I didn't know that.
And finally, did you know that chewing gum while peeling oranges will keep you from crying?
That would be worse. I'd like that. I'm going to try it.
So I'd like for you to try it. So next time you feel that I might have broken your heart, I know you want to take me out to dinner, and I just have to decline. So the next time you start crying, go ahead and utilize that knowledge that I just gave you.
I'll start chewing the gum so I don't cry.
Chewing,
okay, I will try that.
Start chewing the gum. Start chewing the gum and chewing that gum. But like what I'm going to do is leave you with this. I'm the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. That is Philippians 4:7. I'd like to thank you guys for having me on the Covenant Cafe. I shall be back real soon. Amen. Wow. I didn't even get to say
hi. He told me to chew gum so I don't cry over him.
Oh, he's hitting on you now? Wow.
Yep. He said he's gonna. He said, well, first it was the fact about the onions. You know, okay, when you're cutting onions, you know, chewing gum will make you not cry. I was like, I'm gonna have to try that. He goes, yeah. He goes, and because I turned you down for dinner and you cry, and I go, okay, I'll chew gum and I won't cry at all. Okay.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Wow.
He's out there.
Okay. Yeah, he is. He's definitely out there. I just don't know his motives. Sometimes he's come and he disses everybody. And then he's come this time. I don't know. Maybe it's the weather.
He's always nice. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Yeah.
You never know. Words out of his mouth that are going to come.
and a lot of times he don't give you a chance to talk, though. That's what I find.
I just want to be quiet.
Yeah, like, really? Come on,
mm-hmm.
man. Let her try. Let her talk. It's all good. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming within our 10-minute mark. We had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. Kafia, the Rollinson was here, and she, awesome spirit, very humble. You know, and the song that she had was Moving On, and it's pretty interesting that some of the journey. So many things that are happening, that's happening to her with the weird calls and stuff like that. Weird calls, but weird requests. And that's probably Deacon calling her and telling her to come on over there. He ain't got church. He probably having church at Golden Corral somewhere. But needless to say, our words to live by for the week will be John 14:6. It states, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Mm-hmm.
The reflection on that is this. It's very plain and simple. It's very straight to the point. He is the way and the truth and the life. That is saying a whole lot in a few words.
Mm-hmm.
No one, not just some people, no one, not just the guy that goes to church every Sunday, no one, not the church clerk that got all the funds together, no one.
Come on.
No one. Not the person that say, hey, I gave away my TV today to this old man that didn't need a TV, I mean, didn't have a TV, and you bragging about what you did. Listen, no one comes to the Father through, except through me. And you have
nope.
to have, that is a clear standing. There's no way around that. And you can't just like, yo, I'm a good guy, I know it, so I don't even have to go through God. You know, I've been cruel. Because, you know, some people, it appears on the outside that they've always had it together. They always, you look
mm-hmm.
at them, you're like, this guy don't attend not one service. This guy probably haven't even picked up a Bible. And it appears that this guy on the outside is doing wonders. He might have a nice car, a nice house. He might be married. He might be single, or she might be single. She might be married. You might just, on the outside, it just looks so fantastic because you might be going through something at the time. And that other person's life just looks so fantastic. But inside, they're probably hurting because they're not going, they're not making the right choices on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be spiritually fit, you have to go practice. You have to practice to be spiritually fit. And that's your word. Just hanging around, and honestly, and just doing God's works. A lot of people saying you have to go to the church, the actual building. There's been mixed reviews about that. Yes, it is good to go to the building because you with like-minded people in most cases, and that
mm-hmm.
helps you guide you. But as you become stronger, this is my opinion, as long as you're very strong in your devotion, your daily devotion, and you spend that daily quality time that we all struggle with. We all struggle with. And I made a mistake yesterday at my show, and it came back to me last night. And we was preparing for the show yesterday. It went well. However, I usually pray before the show starts.
Uh-huh.
And one of my actors said, okay, you know, are we going to, you know, go ahead and pray? And I was like, okay, right now we don't have time. And I thought, honestly, last night I thought about that. You know,
mm-hmm.
it kept me up for a while because that was like, what you mean? You know, God is saying, what do you mean you won't have time?
Uh-huh.
You know, I would
knock all the lights out and watch you have time. So
yeah.
Your show can't go on. Then you'd be like, oh, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things, honestly, behind the scenes that was happening with the show. And when I got home and I was like, man, this was a rough. Like I said, the audience loved it. It went over well. But behind the scenes was chaotic. And this is the
truth.
And I knew. When I got home, I knew. Like some of the people that
that's
know
the miracles of forgiveness.
Yes. And there's a lot of people, you know, the people that help, you know, put, you know, change the scenes and stuff. Normally they're on top of their job. When I came down, I'd seen a lot of chaos. You know. So which connects with the outside, when people saw the show, the outside looking in, it looks wonderful. But behind the scenes was horrible. You know what I'm saying?
I totally get it.
So not
you caught it.
Yes, and when I say, let me take back horrible. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't our speed that we normally work at, our pace. It wasn't our precision that we normally have.
Right.
You know? So I have to take that horrible word back. It wasn't horrible. It just wasn't our pace. It wasn't our timing. It wasn't the skill set that we would normally work at.
Wasn't your whole output you could have done.
Yes.
Kind of different. Yeah.
And when I got home, I was just thinking, like, what I could have done different.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about
it. Came back to your mind.
Yeah.
You love how God does those little gentle reminders. But I like that, the part you mentioned in there, that, you know, it's by His grace, His glory, His way. You got to go through the Father. Even Jesus Christ, who came down here, put His life up the line.
Mm-hmm.
He Himself, the ultimate teacher, the ultimate guide, our barometer for how are we doing. Nobody gets to the Father but through Him. You have to go the chain of command. He gave us the path. He
mm-hmm.
gave us the street signs. He even sent somebody in front of us. See, follow this path and this rule, but you got to do that or else you do not have an audience.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get an audience with Him. You got to do it that way, but I like how you tied that together. You know, I like that very much.
Yeah, so you know, we got to be careful of what we say and how we get caught up in our work. It may seem extremely busy, but you can spend a couple of minutes. You have time.
Absolutely. I think the best words to go by, too, on the end, ending this on is, you know, if you can stop and you verbally say out loud, I don't care, just in your own little private room that, you know, Jesus Christ, I give my life. You know, you could say something so simple as that and you will change your whole life. A couple simple little words, asking for forgiveness for your own sins. Like I'm sure you did when you got home, it was something so minor, but we know better. You know, you and I stop and go, whoop, wait, I felt that barometer. But use those words wisely. Ask your God to forgive you. Ask your God, our God.
Uh-oh, we got to go. I'm sorry, we got caught up. We got 10 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening to the Covenant Cafe. We'll be back next week. I'm sorry. I still have six. My time is off. We have 40 seconds left.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We're back. No.
Yeah, but I just want to say this before we go off air. We definitely, you just got to be mindful of what you say. And I might as well just go out like this. You have to thank God, period, for everything. Praise him for no matter what the situation is, positive or negative. We'd like to thank you for listening to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Charlie Baltimore. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And we'll be back next week with more.